Greetings, friends, and welcome to this broadcast of Bible Studies. Ken Baird, your speaker. Today on the broadcast, we will continue in our studies in selected psalms, and we're nearing the end of the studies. And we're going to refer you today to Psalm 146 to Psalm 150. These psalms are linked together by a single word. We read at the beginning of each psalm these words in the English, "Praise ye the Lord." That introduces the psalm, and it closes out the psalm, "Praise ye the Lord." But that word "praise," that phrase, "Praise ye the Lord," is the expression of one word in the Hebrew, and that word is hallelujah. And they are linked together, these five psalms, 146 to 150 inclusive, are begun and they end with the word hallelujah. That links them together. That makes them special. And they are indeed a series of triumphs, triumphs of the Lord himself celebrated. The troubles are all past. In the book of Psalms, we go through the book of Psalms and we see there the troubles of the people of God. And they can be compared with a symphony. The psalms were sung; they were musical compositions. They sung one of the psalms on the evening of the Lord's betrayal. They sang a psalm. They were sung, and they were musical compositions. And these last words are just like the closing phrases of a symphony. We see the praises, we see the theme developed throughout the whole symphony. There is a theme that's developed. And during the last of the closing music of the symphony, the theme is emphasized in different ways, different tempo, but we can't make any mistake. We are acquainted with the theme. And the theme of the book of Psalms is "Praise ye the Lord, hallelujah." And here we have these five psalms linked together by this method. We will reserve the 150th psalm for the close of this series on our next broadcast. But now let's think of these psalms as a group, as a climax of the children of Israel. Many of the psalms, especially those written by David, are cries of anguish to God for his deliverance from his enemies. They speak of the trials of David. David was hunted like a partridge on the mountain. David had his times of triumph, and he expressed it in the Psalms. He had his times of deep depression, and he expressed those in the Psalms as well. And they are human experience. That's what makes the Psalms a beautiful composition, the entire Psalter. They are human experiences, and human experiences are always written to us, and these Psalms are born out of the anguish and out of the triumphs of the human heart. That's what makes them so endeared. And certainly, this is no exception in these five closing Psalms. As we read these Psalms, you will notice, and we will read some of them. We can't read them all. It would be too laborious. It would be too extended in the reading. We want to comment on them, but we will read, or we will touch at least on a few of the phrases of each of these closing Psalms. Now, they will indeed show us by their quickening space, and by their subject matter, that the Psalms are nearing a close, just like that symphony that we have enjoyed so much is closing out. We hate to see it close, and the composer of the symphony expresses the theme so many times, so many different ways, that we feel perhaps a wave of satisfaction. Well, it was a good symphony. I'm glad I heard it. All right, now let's go back to David. David was hunted by King Saul as a contender of his throne. Saul was chosen to be the first king of the children of Israel. He was an humble man. When he started that task, but he became absolutely occupied, obsessed with his own importance as a king. And he refused to obey God. He was a man of the flesh. He served his own interests. He exalted his own name. He was a very jealous king. Finally, God had to reject King Saul. He told him to go out and to perform a judgment upon the Amalekites. And Saul did spare the Amalekites, but God said, kill them all. Get rid of them all, even their king. Saul spared the best of the flocks, and he spared the king of the Agagites. And here we have God rejecting, and he told Samuel, who anointed Saul as king, he told him, I've rejected Saul. Now he says, I want you to go, and I want you to take your anointing oil and go to Jesse, and among his sons, I'm going to provide for you a king. Saul did as he was told. He sought out Jesse, the father of David, and he says, call your sons. I have a message. He called his sons. Well, he called his sons, and he started with the oldest. That was the custom, of course, and brought them before Saul, or before Samuel, rather. And he, indeed, ended up by saying, with each man, God hasn't chosen this man. Six of the sons of David were not chosen. Samuel said, is all your sons here? And he says, no, the youngest, David, is with the flock. He says, call him. Samuel knew by process of elimination that David was to be that king. David came, and he anointed him the king of Israel. Now, Saul found this out. Saul found this out, and Saul was a jealous king, and he sought to destroy David. David was recommended to him. His music. Saul had periods of deep depression, almost to the point of insanity. And David was called into the courts of Saul to soothe him with his music, and it worked. David was admired by Saul, but then when Saul came to realize, this is a contender to the throne. Now, David never overthrew Saul. He had no plans to overthrow Saul. God anointed Saul through Samuel. And David wasn't going to interfere with the anointed of the Lord. But Saul didn't realize that. And he hunted David like the partridge on the mountain. And he sought to find him, but he couldn't. Now, these psalms, many of them, reflect the terrible time. David, I suppose, was anointed to be king when he was 17. We'll just use that as an arbitrary figure. He was just a lad. He was a king at the age of 30. That's 13 years. 13 years, Saul sought out David with his army of 3,000 men. David barely escaped on some occasions. He writes this in the Psalms. It's reflected in the Psalms. And his cry of anguish is very, very real. Now, we go on. Saul, David was a prophet. Peter says that in the book of Acts. Notice, please, in Acts chapter 2, verse 29, men and brethren, let me freely speak unto you of the patriarch David, that he is both dead and buried, and his sepulchre is with us unto this day. Therefore, being a prophet, and he's talking about David, and knowing that God had sworn with an oath by him, that of the fruit of his loins, according to the flesh, he would raise up Christ to sit on his throne. Through David came Christ. David knew this, and he prophesied about it. Now, Peter refers to David as a prophet, but also the angel, when he announces the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ to Mary in the book of in the Gospel according to St. Luke, chapter 1, verse 31. Listen to the angel Gabriel. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and shalt bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. And he shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Ah, this is the promise. Mary was puzzled, but she did not question the message of Gabriel. All right, now let's think about these psalms individually. The psalm of the 22nd psalm is a prediction of the cross. David wrote it. It's the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. You can't read that psalm and leave the cross of Christ out of it, with him hanging on the cross, incidentally. All right, now the 146th psalm just starts out, "Praise ye the Lord. Praise the Lord, O my soul. While I live, will I bless the Lord. I will sing praises unto my God while I have any being. Put not your trust in princes, nor in the son of man, in whom there's no help." Ah, there's a better one coming. Not simply a son of man, the son of man, the son of God. He's coming. "Happy is he that hath the God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in the Lord his God." Now Psalm 147 brings out the different ways of nature magnifying the Lord. God uses nature, the inanimate nature, to magnify his name. You see that in Psalm 147. Now in Psalm 148, he uses animate objects, angels, principalities, powers. Well, he brings in the heavens. He brings in the inanimate as well. But he shows the praise of God through animate subjects. They praise God. Now in the 149th Psalm, we see there that the people of God are going to reign. Incidentally, in these psalms, these closing psalms, you do see the wicked mentioned, but you always see them under judgment. You never see them prosecuting or persecuting the children of Israel or the children of God. This is a psalm of triumph. And we see in this psalm, we see in Psalm 149, where his people are going to prevail. Why? These psalms are anticipating the kingdom of our Lord Jesus Christ. Christ is coming back to reign over this earth for 1,000 years. These psalms anticipate that. That is seen in the 149th psalm. His people are going to rule. They are going to execute the judgment. They are going to be a part of bringing in the millennial kingdom of our Lord Jesus Christ. So much can be said, and we'll say much more when we consider Psalm 150 on our next broadcast. Father, we thank thee for the Psalms. We thank thee for the comfort they've been to thy people down through the centuries, born out of the cries of the human heart. Bless them to our hearts as we consider them. In Christ's name, amen.